Nearly 80 countries on Sunday called for the territorial integrity of Ukraine to be the basis for any peace agreement to end Russia's two-year war, although some key developing nations at a Swiss conference did not join in. Many attendees expressed hope that Russia might join in on a roadmap to peace sometime in the future. Joseph Lindsley is in Ukraine, and Joe, I don't believe there is much hope for Russia participating in something like that in the near future, is there?
I don't think so, Bob, and hello from Lviv. While this conference was happening in Switzerland, which really was organized by President Zelensky the day after the G7 concluded in nearby Italy, Kremlin officials said, they'd be open to some kind of negotiation, but not with President Zelensky. So that makes it a bit difficult if you can't even talk to the country's president. And something else that I think was sort of more than a nuance that was missed last week, the Kremlin has lately been saying the past week they're open to some kind of idea of negotiations based on a major precondition that Ukraine remove its soldiers from occupied territories, but that including cities that Russia has never even come close to occupying. The Russians claim that they annex, for example, the region of Zaporizhia. They occupy part of that region in a very rural area and a lot of villages, but they've never come close to occupying the capital of that region, the city of Zaporizhia itself, that ancient Cossack city. They've never even come close to occupying it. And part of their basic demands, even to have a conversation, is that Ukraine give up a city like that has not really been under a serious threat. I mean, it gets attacked by missiles, but nowhere near as often as Kharkiv. So if you look at that detail of what Russia has proposed, you can see that they're not serious about this idea of negotiations. And meanwhile, some of the highlights from that peace summit, it was pretty extraordinary. I think no one could have it would have been hard to imagine this in 2022, that Ukraine could have been the leader of this and pulled all these senior world officials together. And the prime minister of Italy, Giorgia Meloni, she had just finished hosting herself the G7. She said Putin's ceasefire offer is propaganda. And then she said these very powerful words. If Russia doesn't agree to the proposals of this peace summit, if Russia doesn't agree, we will make it surrender. Those words have given a lot of encouragement to Ukrainians, really very tough words from Giorgia Meloni. Mm. And, in this piece, in the proposal that these countries developed, there were three things as starting points that they say must be required. One is to give Ukraine control over its own, over that nuclear power facility, the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, which the Russians have occupied since 2022. They say this is it's a very dangerous thing. So give that back to the Ukrainians, and all a total prisoner swap, and then of course return of the occupied territories. And we heard, I think, part of what this did by bringing these world leaders together, it gave it helped these leaders find their courage with each other, rather than being isolated in their own capitals. And so, for example, the president of Poland, who's been very strong in Ukraine, President Duda. He said he called Russia the prison of nations, and he pointed out that Russia is home to more than 200 ethnic groups, most of which have been subsumed into Russia through colonial methods, he said. And so we are starting to see also this growing idea that the Russian Federation could be broken up, that these different republics within Russia could find liberation and stop sort of contributing to Moscow's war machine. And so no one ever thought this is going to change everything or cure it all. But certainly it's helped increase the momentum for Ukraine in these days.
That's good. Text from one of our listeners. This is interesting. Hi, Bob. I just finished watching an episode of Nature on PBS. It was called Saving the Animals of Ukraine. It's about the people who are locating and caring for pets, livestock, and zoo animals left behind due to the Russian invasion and bombing of cities. I think you might gain a different perspective on Ukraine's war and maybe discover yet another facet of that war to discuss with Joseph Lindsley. That's from Gail in Orland Park. And we hear about the brave men and women fighting there, but this is another aspect of what's going on. Have you heard much about this, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, in particular, I know many foreign volunteers who, especially in Kharkiv city and region, who their focus is on animals who've been abandoned because people had to flee their villages, and also, you know, even retraining dogs to be in the trenches with soldiers, helping those animals that have been traumatized. And Ukrainians, I mean, it's a humane culture. They do care for animals, and I think, you know, so, you know, I think of all the, it's very popular, as we've talked about, to have cats in the front in the trenches, because they help the soldiers by eating the rats and the mice.
Wow.
And so you do see this a big part of the effort. And meanwhile, of course, we see the human cost and the human toll. And on Saturday, I had a meeting, a breakfast meeting with an American that was here to help. And after breakfast, we were walking around the square, and you know, you see lots of families. You don't see, you know, you don't see many men of conscription age. That's you know, that's a reality now. You do see soldiers. You see people, you know, young men who've lost arms and legs, and then you see families and older people. But there are a lot of people in this, you know, that Renaissance and Baroque, medieval center of Lviv, and on the cobbled streets. You know, the cafes have their tables spilling into the streets. There's no vehicle traffic, and a beautiful Saturday morning. And then we heard the sound of taps playing, which means that a funeral was ending at the nearby Greek Catholic Church of St. Peter and Paul. And then all of a sudden the motorcade for the military funeral comes by, and every single person in that square, men and women, young and old, fell to their knees for more than a minute, you know, in the street, while the hearse passed by. And you can feel the respect, the heaviness and the fear, all these things all together, and the sense of honor. And you just, I mean, it's hard, you know, in the center of a city, people on their knees, as the hearse passed by, and knowing that that's, you know, there's going to be many more of those, moments. So, a lot of difficulties, and still, I mean, because of ever since they had new permission from Washington to hit back, I have to report that Kharkiv is actually pretty calm these days. So some good news too.
And what an image. I'm seeing that in my mind of the people kneeling as that procession goes by. Wow. Joe Lindsley in Ukraine. Good to talk to you again, Joe. Thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Till tomorrow. Thank you, Bob.